Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme.
in the state of absolute freedom. I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Letting Go from my Inclusion Revolution, Together with Love, an album I did last year to sort of just get over the divisiveness that's been going on in the country and to find ways for us to heal and to power up so that we can be of more service to humanity rather than a victim or perhaps, what do they call it? You know, when you end up to be the one that, you know, suffers the consequence of everything that everyone else does. So anyway, it always delights me when you can take the time to tune into our podcast because we generally show up as authentically as we can with just the intention to have a heart-to-heart conversation with our guest. And I know that for me, I learn a lot, and I've also heard a lot from them too, the growth process that takes place. A lot of us might feel that we can't change the world, but we are part of the healing. So the more that we can bring our amplification of our personality and quality to the forefront of our lives, then we must trust that that is adding the vibration on the planet that is needed to bring this thing around to a world where human beings will walk with their inner self-respect. So it becomes the natural law of the universe to convey respect to our animals, plants, the nature, each other in the decisions that we make. And I guess it really requires us to be a lot more mindful when we look at, you know, how do we show up on the planet now where we feel that we are contributing to the planet rather than taking more of her resources without any consideration about what she needs from us. Today we have Meryl Davids-Landau, who's the author of the new book, Warrior One. She's an award-winning writer whose work has been published in O, the Oprah Magazine, Prevention, Glamour, Reader's Digest, Good Housekeeping, and much more. But Meryl is also a certified yoga teacher and authors of the books Downward Dog, Upward Fog, and Enlightened Parenting. She can be found blogging on spiritual and yoga topics on Medium. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Meryl to the air. Hi, Meryl. Nice to have you on board.
Hi. Nice to be here. Thank you so much.
You're an accomplished nonfiction writer on the subjects of lifestyle, health, and wellness. I'm curious, why did you decide to write a fiction novel more than what's real?
So I do write for magazines on health topics, and one of the things I always loved was hearing from people who've read articles and magazines that I've written for, how my work influenced them personally in some way, whether that was because I do write a lot about alternative health and holistic health topics, whether that got them to see other things that they might be trying for their own health or just help them to see how they could change and improve their own health. So that's, I love the immediate connection with the readers. And so, you know, as a writer, I guess in the back of my mind, I always thought, you know, maybe someday I would write a novel. And then a number of years ago, I was looking at my bookshelf and, like many people on a spiritual path, I have a large selection of spiritual books. Mm-hmm. And I also love to read fiction. So I had a large selection of fiction, of novels that you can take to the beach in the summer and just, you know, kind of relax with. And it hit me, where are the novels that kind of combine those two? Where are the novels for the people who love to read the spiritual books? Mm-hmm. And so I started writing what became Downward Dog, Upward Fog, which is women's fiction, which is the kind of book you can take to the pool. But the idea of the book is how do you keep your peace no matter what's going on? How do you use the spiritual tools that I learned in all of my own seeking? And how does my main character kind of bring that to her life? And, you know, also writing nonfiction so much, I just found it's kind of fun, you know, making stuff up.
Because then you can open up your mind to more possibilities, because sometimes we want to be able to add maybe more humor or more, like, beyond the box thinking in seeing how we can be more at peace, even if we have to get there in very obscure ways, you know, even comical ways. In your book, Warrior One, the main character, Lorna, she struggles to stay on her spiritual path, which is not common for many people. Are any of the characters based maybe on your own life?
So after Downward Dog, Upward Fog came out, which also features the same character of Lorna, although they are two distinct books. It's not really a series. People would ask me, are you Lorna? And part of me is Lorna because, you know, trying to maintain the spiritual practices in my everyday life is what Lorna does in the book. But then, you know, it made me realize we're all Lorna, really. I mean, everyone has days and moments that challenge you and where you're trying to say, okay, can I take the spirituality that I know from my meditation, from my yoga, from all the other practices that I do, can I take that and really put that in my everyday life? And that's what Lorna tries to do in these books, and that's definitely what I try to do in my life, and sometimes more successfully than others, as Lorna is sometimes more successful than others.
Sure. Right. I have an aunt named Lorna, and I always find them to be a piece of work. They're, like, hilarious. So I just love them.
I have to say, so we hadn't met too many Lornas. And then recently, I was on a vacation, and I was sitting with two women that I didn't know before, and I was talking to them, and then they said, oh, here's our friend. Lorna, come on over. And this woman came over who was exactly the way I had pictured my Lorna.
I found that so
interesting.
Oh, that is. Now, you mentioned several spiritual teachers in the book who have influenced Lorna. Are you a follower of those teachers?
So many of the spiritual teachers, you know, Lorna kind of follows an eclectic spiritual path, which is kind of the path that I would say that I'm on, not really from one particular lineage, but really learning from a lot of different spiritual masters and spiritual teachers in lineages like Swamis or Buddhist monks, and others just more, you know, eclectic spiritual types of teachers like Abraham Hicks and Eckhart Tolle. Gabby Bernstein, I read a lot of those books. I read very voraciously these spiritual nonfiction books, as does Lorna. And so throughout the course of the book, of the novel Warrior One, she is influenced by these teachers and finds solace and the ability to connect to her center and her higher self through reading a lot of these teachings. And that kind of gets back to my initial thought, is for people who love to read these kinds of books, to make a novel that would be fun and lighter and show a person really trying to follow the wisdom that many of these spiritual teachers can impart.
So you call this book's genre mindful women's fiction. What does that mean? And are there a lot of books in this genre?
So it's kind of a category I've made up, because the official category of my books are contemporary women's fiction, which is really just, you know, women trying to live in the contemporary world in their everyday life. But in most of those books, the plot is, you know, can she keep her job? Can she get a man? In Warrior One, the plot would be, does her baby, because in Warrior One, she's pregnant, and the question arises, is there something wrong with her baby? And so the plot in a regular contemporary women's fiction book would be, is there something wrong with her baby? But the plot of Warrior One is, can she keep her peace while she's waiting to find out if there's something wrong with her baby? And then even if there is something wrong with her baby, can she maintain her own inner center and connection to her peace and her higher self, you know, through mindfulness and through other types of practices that Lorna does throughout the book. So I think it's a pretty unique genre in that it really does, you know, look underneath what's happening to how is she reacting.
Right. Now, the topic of this book is pretty serious because questioning if there's something wrong with Lorna's unborn baby, yet you believe reading the book is an uplifting experience. How can those two to go together? And how did you get the idea for actually the plot of the book?
So I think that even though the topic is very serious, and of course I treat it very seriously because, you know, if you're pregnant and there's maybe something wrong with your baby, in some ways, you know, anyways, that's a potential tragedy in your life. But all of us, you know, in life kind of go through tragedies of one sort or another. It really, again, becomes how do we react to that? And because Lorna uses all of the spiritual principles and practices, you know, some of which that we've talked about here, the spiritual reading and she does mindfulness, she does appreciation exercises, she does walking meditations. You know, she really tries to pull from a lot of the different tools that are out there that we all in our own lives really try to use to stay centered. So I think that takeaway from the book for the reader is one of feeling uplifted. Like, I can do that in my own life. I can bring the spiritual tools and techniques to my biggest challenges and come out on the other side, regardless of what happens, regardless of whether there is something wrong with the baby or not. And I came up with the plot of the book. It was interesting because after I wrote Downward Dog, Upward Frog, I heard from a lot of readers, you know, please write the sequel. Because, again, there really aren't a lot of books in this category. But at the end of the book, and I'm really not giving anything away to say that because, as I mentioned, it's women's fiction. They usually end on kind of a positive note. You know, at the end of Downward Dog, Upward Frog, Lorna was in a pretty good place. She had kind of, you know, figured out how to, you know, stay connected to her higher self. So I couldn't figure out what would a sequel be about. You know, if she was in a good place, what would be big enough to throw her off of that good place enough that the readers would feel that she was really genuinely challenged again? And so in between, I had written a book of essays called Enlightened Parenting, which was about my own personal journey through trying to bring spiritual practices into my parenting. And when I was at an event with women talking about this book, a woman came up to me and she said, the doctors think there might be something wrong with my child, and I'm really having trouble dealing with this in-between state. And, you know, of course my heart broke for her, but, you know, afterwards when I got home, I thought, that is challenging enough that even if Lorna knew the tools, even if she was on a spiritual path, that would be something that would really challenge anyone to try to up their game and really bring even more focus and mindfulness to their day and their life.
That's a lovely takeaway, because there are lots of people that are going through that, and sometimes you might want to just, you know, hear something that meets you where you're at, but also helps you to travel the journey, not alone, but also with the optimism that maybe there is something beneficial that'll come out of it. So on a personal note where you're concerned, have you been able to keep your peace in the midst of your your book tours, chit-chatting about all of this, and just conveying messages?
So I think that I'm like Lorna and like, you know, most other people. I do use the spiritual tools that, you know, some of which have survived for thousands of years. I do meditate, but I don't beat myself up if I don't have a chance to meditate for more than a few minutes in the morning. I'm happy that I meditated for a few minutes in the morning. I really try not to adhere to a rigid dogma. But a lot of the tools that Lorna uses that come from my own life are tools that you can just employ in the moment. So, you know, if I have to, even before I came on here, I mean, you did this amazing meditation, so I didn't even have to really do my own before. But before I connected with you, I did do my own just few minutes. You know, I like to focus inside my feet. I like to feel the grounded, the energy moving inside my feet or inside my hands. Really brings you immediately into the present moment. Or appreciation exercises like Lorna do. One of my favorite exercises comes from Esther Hicks, who talks about focusing on something and going through the alphabet and coming up with positive words that you can think of to describe that object. So I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling appreciative. It's beautiful. But that person is, you know, charming and delightful, you know, just kind of going through the alphabet. By the time you get even halfway in, you don't even have to at all get to the last letter. You are feeling so much better. It doesn't even matter who or what you're focusing on or what situation. You are feeling so much better. So I really try to bring a lot of those little mini techniques into my life throughout the day, which helps keep me centered. And I also try to remember that even people who look like they're always perfectly on a spiritual path, many of them are not every moment of their life on a spirit, you know, successfully, you know, staying on the path that they want to be on. I remember once
and
I
that's
went
okay.
to hear, and it's perfect. I remember once I went to hear Wayne Dyer speak, and he was talking about a moment where he was just lost it in his house, and he was screaming and yelling and carrying on. And one of his daughters looked at him and said, you know, wouldn't your fans love to see you right now? And as he was telling the story, I remember thinking, you know, I think his fans would love to see him in that moment. Because we all have those moments, no matter how, you know, how much we try to stay calm and centered and peaceful and connected with our higher self, we lose it. And I think it's helpful to see that other people lose it. So I remember that sometimes when I'm, you know, having a bad moment as well. Even, you know, people who are dedicating their whole lives to spiritual practices lose it too.
What is it about misery likes company?
I don't even know
it's
if it's
just
so much like company, because I think misery loves company means I'm down here and I want to pull you down here with me. And I think for me, it's more if I'm down here, I know that even people who I see as up there bounce down here periodically. And I can bounce back up just like they bounce back up.
Exactly. Very hopeful. Well, look, it's been a delight having you on the air today, and I've been really appreciating the thoughts and the energy that you've brought to our guests and our audience. So Meryl Davidson Landau, leave us with a website that our listeners can get in touch with you if they want to.
Sure. My website is my name, Meryl Davids, with a D, davidslandau.com. And also, as you mentioned, I have started blogging on Medium, so you can find some of my more spiritual blogs there. And also, of course, once my book, Warrior One, is out in the middle of May, people can find it on Amazon or at other bookstores.
Sounds good. Lots of good wishes. Take care.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
So that was Meryl Davids Landau. And if you'd like some more information, just go to MerylDavidsLandau.com for more information on her books. I really liked some of the ways that she turned the conversation, but really how we can sometimes take something really tragic and just mix it into our good too, and keep, you know, moving forward knowing that something good will come out of it. If you just focus on the tragic or the tragedy, it'll taste bad. But if you just take it to see what was it there for, I mean, how did that emerge for me? What was I supposed to learn? And mix it into everything else that you've been through, just might turn out to really find something amazing was in the works for you to just continue with the journey. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. So let's amplify that more. If you haven't gotten a copy of my latest meditation album, Your Inner World Guided Meditations, please go to Amazon or iTunes to get a copy. It's everywhere now. And let me know what you think about it. It'll take you through a journey throughout time. So here we will end the show with one of the tracks from the album. Why don't we do that? And hopefully I can definitely get them to play one of those and just take a deep breath and relax. And here is Just Breathe. Take a deep breath. Keep your eyes gently open. Imagine that you're walking toward a beautiful house by the oceanside. All around you are beautiful flowers, trees, a gentle breeze,
you pause to view the whole landscape. And just for a little while, observe how that makes you feel. As you approach this beautiful house, carrying a gentle curiosity of what awaits inside, you leave behind the open white space and beautiful landscape. You leave the gentle breeze behind you, knowing that it's okay. As your feet gently move closer towards the door, you notice your hand moving towards the doorknob, turning it slowly. You enter the house, and upon entering, you enter your deepest inner being, your inner world of thoughts. You enter the soul and the vast properties of thoughts and experiences that live inside of you. Allow yourself to just take another deep breath. Take it all in, bracing yourself to see things you have missed, but to also see the things you've always known were there. To see things you know you need to change. To see the things that you love. But also to see the things you are afraid of. Allow yourself to be very present, open, and receptive. As you enter inside your beautiful house of thoughts, you come across memories. Memories of being a child in the main room. It's you, the child. You're safe, protected, free, and blessed. Allow that feeling of being blessed, protected, and carefree to consume you in your moment of inner reflection. Allow that feeling to consume you for a little while in your moment of inner reflection.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.